What's up and welcome back to Broside Broadcast. I'm Derek and today it's just me. My schedule and Blake's are polar opposites, which means flying solo for a while, but don't worry, I'm already speaking with some potential guests to bring in fresh voices and keep things interesting. So keep your ears peeled for that, but with no further ado, let's jump right in. So today we're diving deep into something that could signal a significant shift in the scene. And I know that sounds dramatic, but I'm alone here, so I have to make things interesting. So I'm talking about Will Ramos' newest song, Riptide, which is a collaborative track with The Gnarly Neighbor. Everyone knows who that is, obviously. So before I give a 30-second clip, and before I give my two cents about this, let me share what Will Ramos wrote in the YouTube description for this song. Quotations, a friend of mine and I got together to make a super experimental collaboration we think you guys would love. With a cross of EDM, some emotional vocals, and some random je ne sais quoi, which Blake has mentioned several times. I still have no idea what that means. I don't care to look it up. I think it's funny at this point, but this is our baby Riptide. So with that said, here's a 30-second clip. I'll be right back to give my thoughts on it and what I think it means for the scene. So here's that clip. So please don't shut me out, no. Everything is a guess and you can bet on me. So please don't wear me out, no. Because you're wearing me out now. Because you're wearing me out now. Because you're wearing me out now. I got it. The reach So I think most people know that Will Ramos is the vocalist of Lorna Shore. And those following Lorna Shore know that Will Ramos has been the powerhouse for the EP that came out in 2021 and also their 2022 album, Pain Remains. But To the Hellfire, the 2021 song that really got them so much attention, this song, Riptide, is a complete departure from that. It's a departure from Pain Remains, and it's just generally a departure from the heavy, intense sound we've associated with who Will Ramos is as a vocalist. So anyone familiar with Will Ramos's music ventures outside of Lorna Shore, he does vocal covers of things like Sleep Token and several different things I can't really think of off the top of my head, but he's not strictly a screaming vocalist. He's done vocal breakdown videos for songs with vocal coaches, so he's just not your typical deathcore vocalist. He's much more skilled than that. But as I mentioned before, Riptide is a departure from the heavy, intense sound we've associated with him, and this track blends with the emotional vocal work that he mentioned, and it really just showcases the versatility in his vocals that go beyond the confines of deathcore. So I think that raises the question, could this experimentation with Riptide be the end of Will Ramos's days in deathcore? And right off the bat, I know that's a hot take. I can fully acknowledge that, but like I said, I'm flying solo here, so I have to come up with something interesting. I don't think Lorna Shore is anything short of exceptional. They've earned their place as one of the leaders of the deathcore genre, especially in the deathcore renaissance. They've definitely been one of the bands that has made deathcore cool again. But let's be honest, deathcore appeals to a much more niche audience, and EDM may be a niche audience, but in this song, there are clean and heavy vocals, but not in an aggressive, scary way. Because whenever you have gutturals and high screams backed with brutal breakdowns and screaming solos, that's not for everyone. I think that any reasonable person can understand that deathcore is not for everyone. But this song is a lot more approachable. You could show the song to anyone interested in alternative music. And I think it, you could even say that you could show this to someone who likes the Punk Goes Pop albums. That's who I think this would appeal to. That someone who isn't super into the scene, but still likes alternative music, could appreciate this song. So with that said, after the massive success of To the Hellfire by Lorna Shore, I think that they kind of hit a peak of viral fame. Just comparing their album Pain Remains, which was released in 2022, from my perspective, didn't capture as much attention as the EP. And that's not me saying that it fell short musically, but just in terms of capturing this viral spotlight that they had before. There was no TikTok, there wasn't any sort of major social media attention drawn to it. And I want to fully acknowledge that I may be out of the loop, but it raises the question, where does an artist go after reaching such a monumental peak with a specific release? As far as this song goes, this song, in my opinion, jumpstarts Will Ramos' ability to explore different musical landscapes in a much more commercial sense, since this was just not limited to a Patreon release. So this exploration outside of deathcore could open up new avenues because he is taking a step in a direction. Maybe not necessarily a new direction because it's not brand new, but under his name being released on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, it is a certain business decision. And I can only imagine the number of things that he's not released. And just one point that I kind of want to bring up is that maybe someone thinks I'm being too harsh or closed-minded, or maybe I'm not seeing things for the full picture. But I think whenever we see these artists on social media, it gives us a certain idea that we are closer to them than we may think, which creates a parasocial relationship. While this may not seem like it's a business decision to release the song, I certainly think that it is. And due to parasocial relationships, people often forget that music released on platforms such as Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube, that it's a business decision. And this just isn't like a friend sending a song idea in your messages that they're kind of sort of working on. This song is going to earn revenue. And there's a saying, I'm not sure who said this, but if the outcome is income, then it's not a hobby. And that's why podcasting is a hobby, because there's no income, but that's neither here or there. And I'm not saying that this song or the project is only motivated by financial means, but I also don't think that someone goes through as many steps to distribute something this widespread if the goal isn't to get as many eyes on it as possible. But back to my point about comparing this to what he does in Lorna Shore, I believe him stepping out into this lane, I guess, from deathcore could reshape his musical identity, because now he's not only going to be in the eyes of deathcore fans or metalcore fans, but like I said before, I think this gets him in front of even EDM fans. This gets him in front of more alternative music fans. I want to see what you all think. Is this song a sign of Will Ramos branching into new territories? I didn't really spend too much time speaking about the instrumentals or vocals. You all got to hear the clip, and on the first time that I listened to it, it was kind of a shock. I really enjoyed it, but listening to it more times, the newness of the song wore off, and this song isn't reinventing any kind of Will. It's definitely something I've heard before, It doesn't sound bad, but it doesn't really hold that replay value for me personally. But a percentage of Lorna Shore fans would be on board with clean vocals making an appearance. But there's likely an equal amount of fans that would be against the band moving in that direction. So that's why I think this song just raises a lot of questions. Does this song mark a transition or even a transformation in Will Ramos's career? What does it mean for Lorna Shore and the genre of deathcore? And is branching out the natural next step for artists who have already tasted viral success in a niche genre? So we'll likely find out. It's still early in the year, and like I said, I'm sure there are a lot of songs that Will Ramos has not released, so we'll see what his next step is, or if there are any other steps. Who knows? Maybe the song means nothing, maybe I'm overthinking it, but that's the fun of speculation, and that's what podcasts are about, mostly. Maybe I'm wrong. So share your thoughts on Instagram or Discord. I really want to know what you all think, especially since it's just me sitting here. And I want to know, do you think I'm wrong? Am I way off base, or do you agree with me? Do you see where I'm coming from? Because I think this song communicates something. So just moving on, in a recent episode, I had mentioned being surprised by the band Throne and their massive monthly listener count on Spotify, thinking that I was out of the loop on them, because at the time that we recorded that episode, I think that they were around 700,000 monthly listeners, which is substantial. And kind of touching on that for a second, I'm not the biggest fan of monthly listener counts on Spotify. I realize that being on specific playlists can kind of manipulate those numbers, because it's not truly indicative of a band's faithful following. It only says how many listeners are listening to them, I guess, in that particular month. So in an age of social media and everyone looking at numbers to create a gauge of social status, a larger monthly listener count can kind of inflate a band's social status in a particular regard. So that's just an idea throwing out there. But with all of these things in mind, it sparked somewhat of a deep dive on my part, if you want to call going to Reddit a deep dive. But I don't really spend much time on there, because it's like the Wild West of ideas. Anyone can really post anything, and most of those are scorching hot takes, but someone had made a post about Throne on the metalcore Reddit community, and the original post and the comments shed some light on how bands like Throne navigate Spotify's algorithm to reach a broad audience. So I want to go into that for just a moment. In the original post, and I'm going to read mostly word for word, so the person, quote, "How did Throne get 1 million listeners on Spotify? This is not meant to be a dig at all, more of a question or case study." They go on to say, "I love Throne and what they're doing, but they just don't seem to be the type of band that would get a huge following compared to bands like Bad Omens and Ice Nine Kills. Essentially, it seems like they broke the mold, but didn't change their sound or sacrifice anything. At least I can tell. Did they market themselves well, or did I miss something about them?" End quotes. This person brings up some good thoughts, and I want to include some other comments as well. That way, it feels like a whole conversation room, since I don't have anyone to banter with like usual. However, one of the commenters pointed out that Throne and many others use a certain Spotify feature that could be attributed to the success. And apparently, this feature is called Discover Mode for artists, and it pushes their songs to be suggested more frequently to a targeted demographic. And this person said that the intense promotion will only continue if the band successfully retains listeners, which makes sense, because YouTube basically does the same thing. If your video is doing well, then the platform wants to reward you, but they also want to keep people on their app, because the more time someone is on their app, the more opportunity there is to sell something. You all know how this works. These companies don't really care so much about what we want, but they care about what keeps us on their app long enough so they can make more money. So this person goes on to say that the system rewards a band because if they are bringing in listeners consistently that are re-engaging with the music on their own terms, because if Spotify shares it one or two times and then the person listens to it and then goes back to it on their own free time, then that's also going to help this feature. So the discover mode helps the right people hear the right music. But on the flip side, if nobody liked it, then it will stop suggesting the music as frequently. Which makes sense, because if they are pushing a song or an artist and someone listens to it and they don't return to it, then it doesn't make much sense to keep pushing that. But my experience as a listener is somewhat opposite of that, because I can tell Spotify not to play an artist again, and they will still put songs in a playlist. And I can see that if I go to listen to music on desktop Spotify, because it only grays out an artist or a song, whereas on the mobile app, you won't see it at all. But just to share some more comments, another person shared their personal experience saying, "I'm not even joking. For a week, I would get Throne as the first song after every album or playlist I listened to." And they're probably talking about the settings on Spotify where music continues to play after you finish listening to what you initially put on or play. And I'm not a big fan of that setting, especially if I'm trying to relax and then something like Throne gets thrown on there. No pun intended. But the person also said, "I didn't even dislike it. I just got so sick of it popping up that I blocked them." And of course, someone replied to them saying, "I was going to block them. Then I listened to On the Verge, and now I'm a big fan. It's more on Spotify than it is on Throne." So this conversation opened up a broader discussion about Spotify's role in to music discovery for me. It's fascinating and also divisive about how algorithms can introduce us to new favorites, but at the same time, occasionally overwhelm us. So I want to know if anyone has had a Throne moment on Spotify, a band or an artist that the algorithm just kept pushing until you either gave in and found something special, or maybe you've been on the verge, pun intended, of blocking an artist due to just being overexposed time and time again. I know that's happened to me, and it's really unfortunate for the artist, I guess. But at the same time, if you really like an artist and you really like their sound, I think it's going to be more difficult to get tired of that artist. So I'm not sure, because there's also some music that I like that whenever I get to maybe the 10th play, I'll have a moment where I feel like I can't really get anything else, I guess, whether that be emotionally, maybe instrumentally, there's nothing else for me to really digest in the song. So that's just me. You all know how picky I tend to be. I've been working on that this year, but I'm curious how Spotify's recommendations have shaped your all's music listening habits. So again, let me know on Instagram and Discord. If you want to write me a letter about your experience, DM me, and I guess I'll give you my address. We can be pen pals about music. But just one other thing that I want to go into, and I will say this time has gone by much faster than I expected. I didn't know how long this was going to last, but if you're still listening, I appreciate it, and I hope I've been entertaining enough. But the last thing that I want to talk about, and then I'll wrap things up, is that I want to introduce a new segment called Release Radar Roundup. Every Friday, Spotify updates our Release Radar playlist. Sorry, Apple Music people. But Release Radar is Spotify's algorithm's best guess at what new tracks we may be into based on our past listens, which sounds ideal because no one really knows our music taste better than Spotify. So regarding this segment, I want to share my personal Release Radar each week, dissecting the good, the bad, and then just the downright confusing choices that Spotify throws my way. Because I've noticed, and maybe you all have too, that sometimes Spotify seems like they're just taking guesses or shots in the dark. And I've discovered some absolute gems that have become staples in my playlist, Throne being one of those. But I've also been left scratching my head at some of the recommendations. And I would say that sometimes I wish they would recommend some genres I've never listened to before, because a lot of metalcore sounds the same. And I guess you can say that about any genre, but for this being my go-to genre for 20 years, I just feel like I've heard what the genre is at this point. There's nothing extremely new or different. And the bands that can come out with something fresh and exciting and new, those bands are great. But there's so many bands that are just redoing what's been released for the last 20 years. And on the Top Songs of 2023 episodes that we did, we talked about some songs that were not in the metalcore genre. And those are just opportunities to experience something different, not just riffs and breakdowns. Because metalcore is not the only genre that I like. So even though I don't go to those other genres on Spotify all the time, it would be nice if they could just recognize, okay, we only ever suggest this one genre to this person. Maybe let's try to throw a song or two, or maybe five songs, and see what they think. Because worst case scenario, Spotify gives you the option to say, hey, don't play this song again, or you can add it to a playlist or to your like songs. So let me just know what you all think on that. I know that there's the Discover Weekly playlist, but that's essentially just the same thing as Release Radar. It's just not the newest songs being released. So that's something that I would like to do. If you all think that's a good idea, if you think it could be a better idea, let me know. But just to go back to the Throne subject for just a moment, I was surprised that other people use the feature of don't play this artist the same way that I do. Because whenever I'm on Release Radar and I hear something that I think is awful, I'll go to the artist and I will block the artist because Spotify needs to be told, hey, I don't like this. Never play it again. And that's where I just wish it would start recommending new genres, because how many artists do you have to block before it gets the hint that, hey, maybe this person wants something different? So that's just my thoughts, and that's all I really have to say this week. I really want to hear from you all. What's been your experience with Release Radar? Have you all found new favorite artists or songs through it? Or have you encountered tracks that make you question Spotify's understanding of your taste? Share those stories with me and let's just explore the hits and misses of the algorithm. So watch for the Release Radar Roundup, which will start in the next episode. I'm looking forward to diving into this with you all. But with that said, follow us on Instagram at Broside Broadcast. And if you want bonus content, I can't promise what it'll be, but I would like to offer some extra things for the people who help keep this show running, because I appreciate it. Thank you all so much for your time today. Thank you all for listening to me somewhat ramble. And let me know what guests you would like on the show. I can contact them and see if they want to come on. But with that said, my name's Derek, and you'll hear from me next Tuesday.